DeAndre is going to come and bring us the word. As we've already had worship, as we already have the Spirit of Christ in this place, I want you to come up, DeAndre. I don't got much of a introduction more than just, I love you. I love you. I'll let you introduce yourself a little bit more, but why don't you come up here and let us pray for you, and then we'll set you up and get ready for the word. So Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Every time we enter your gates, we thank you. And I thank you for DeAndre. I thank you for the man of God that he already is. Thank you for gifting him with a lovely wife. Thank you for gifting him with a church family. Thank you for gifting him with a calling and a purpose. I just ask that you would anoint his mouth today to speak what you want to speak, Holy Spirit. Let there be none of DeAndre and all of you, however that looks. And we give you the freedom, me, DeAndre, everyone in this room, Jesus, we give you the freedom to move however you want and whatever that looks like. We say, yes, amen, come and have your way. Help us to hear. Open our ears and our eyes to see you and hear you for what you're speaking. And mostly, I pray for a blessing over this group, that you would bless them as they come and serve, that you would protect them and guide them and keep them and give them the desires of their heart. More than anything, I pray that you give them the desires of their heart. Anoint them with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray. And everyone who greets said, amen. One last thing before I pass it off to you. If you have a child that would go down to Sunday school, we don't have Sunday school today. We got some activity books in the back or something like that that you can busy them with, but otherwise, this is a family service today. Family friendly. Okay, I'll pass this well off to you.
Awesome. Family friendly. That's awesome. Hello, guys. My name is DeAndre. Again, we're from Edmonton. Woo! Alberta boys. I'm probably going to come down here. Is that okay?
Yep.
Is that fine? Yeah, down here, man. I don't like the stage. I don't need that. I want to see the people. Huh? Let's go. Wife, awesome. She's still with me. It's been a year and a half, so it's been awesome. We've been having lots of fun. I play hide and seek with her all the time. She comes home all stressed out. She's like, babe, I need to talk. And then I start giggling. And then I go and run away, and she has to come and find me. We keep it entertained, man. We keep it awesome. Got my team here with me. Love these guys a lot. And so glad that we can just come and be a part, man. BC people, man. You guys are my peeps, man. So I'm super excited. Okay. Enough is enough, bro. Let's get into the message, huh? While we came here. So we're going to go to 1 John. We'll do that. We'll put that up there. First 4. This is what it says. I think I got the wrong one up there. Let's go up one verse. I'll read it here. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out, because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love. This is a good translation, but I love how Paul phrases it. It's a little more preachy, which I like. He says, for God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and a sound mind or self-control. I like that verse. It's a little more, you know what I mean? It has a little more oomph to it. You know what I mean? But this is also good too. This is also great. But I love that. Perfect love. You see, so much in our society is built on fear. We fear all sorts of stuff. Fear our jobs, fear our work, fear for our families. We have fear. We're driven a lot of the times by fear and anxiety. But God says, no. For I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power. We're going to talk about that tonight. Love, we're going to talk right now. And a sound mind or self-control. Love that. No longer are you a slave to the thoughts that you have, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can actually be changed and now have authority and take back that control. Come on now. Come on. That's so good. Because in a society right now that says, no. Like you are a victim to your mind, that you gotta do the affirmations and you gotta do yoga and da, 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 you gotta protect. No. You can take back control, people. Hello. Do I gotta remind you guys? You guys have a black preacher in front of you. You guys ever had that before? When you got a black preacher, okay, and he says a good point, you got to say amen. Okay, let's test it out. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Okay, perfect, perfect, good, good, good enough, good enough. Black preacher, that means you gotta respond, okay? You gotta respond. Yep, yep, yep. Okay. What was it? What are you gonna say? Even for the white ones too. Come on, Danny needs help up here. He needs help, man. Come on. He's black in spirit though. That's why we get along so well. Okay, anyways, I got a story. Okay. And when I tell you this story, unfortunately, I didn't have a picture of me and my wife, but when I tell you this story, you're going to be like, how the whatever did they fall in love? How did he manage to get her to fall in love with him? Okay, once I tell you the end of the story, you're going to be like, how the math isn't mathing, as the kids would say. But I'm telling you, it's because there's a God. Come on. Come on. If you ever need to know, if you ever need an excuse or a reason for why God exists, just look at this guy. How is this guy married? It's like that. You know there's a God, bro. You know. Come on, people. Have some fun, man. Have some fun, bro. You can laugh. It's fine. Okay, let me tell you this story. So I'm from St. Church again. I'm a youth pastor there. My wife at the time was a volunteer in kids, but now she's kind of the director. She oversees the programming. She teaches. It's kind of cool. We're like a power couple in the next gen department. It's pretty cool. At the time, the only time I would see her is on Sundays during the prayer meeting. So I made sure, you know what I mean, that anytime, you know, she was in the room for prayer, I made sure to, you know, make sure to really get my prayers for the kids ministry up. God, there's no junior Holy Spirit. She's like, okay. Okay, I'm like, there's no junior Holy Spirit. God, use these people in the kids' wing. Lord, bless them. I was going crazy, right? Doing all the, saying all the stuff, all the right things. And so I remember we did a youth and kids collab. And so I was talking about Peter walking on the water, and it was all lovely. And then she walked in, and I said, okay, now's my chance, bro, to impress. So I remember I was saying all the right things, and then I went and I asked a few of the friends, and I was like, hey, like, who is this girl? They said her name is Emma. She's super sweet. I said, okay, Emma. I said, can you tell me a little bit about her? They said, oh, she loves coffee. And so I realized that in the kids' wing, there's like snacks and coffee things going on. So the next Sunday, I made it my mission to get there and look for game supplies for youth. But you know what I was really looking for. you guys know what I was really looking for. So I head up there and I'm just looking for games. But oh, I'm looking for some balls. I know I'm in the printer room, but is there any balls or anything like that? And I'm looking around, and then she walks in. Whew. My heart sinks. Dum, 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 dum. I said, okay. I turn around and I'm like, hey. And then she says, hey. And then I kid you not, nothing came out after that. That was it. It was it. Like, I know you guys are shocked. You're like, how is this guy not talking all the time? I don't know. I don't know either. But in this moment, I was like, it was nothing was coming out. And she's like, okay. And then walked away. Now, remember, my only time to see her is on Sunday. So I had to wait a whole nother week to see her again. Same thing next week. I go, I'm like, oh, I'm just looking. I'm looking for like a baseball bat. I know it's the printer room, but is there something else that I could find in here? She comes in, blank again. I say nothing. This went on. I kid you not. Ask Devin. He knows. This went on for 3 whole weeks. I go there, say nothing. She'll say, that's so weird. And then that would happen. Until this one time, okay? I kid you not, this happened. This is how you know the Lord is real. On Thursday night, I'm praying, okay? Because I'm thinking, I'm like, God, this can't be your will. But I was like, but I seen you turn miracles, bro. I seen you turn water into wine. I seen you do these things. And so if it's possible, Lord, can you give me the right things to say to this guy? I'm praying this out loud, okay? I know I've seen you move mountains, Lord. You healed the sick, Lord. Do this in me, man. Give me the game I need to talk to this guy. And I'm praying this out loud. I kid you not, guess what happens? She walks into the kitchen. She walks into the room. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay. I turn around. I'm like, now's my chance. I turn around and I say, hey. Guess what happens? Her mom walks in the room, dude. I'm not going to, you know what I mean, get digits when mom's there. Like, that's so weird, right? So I'm like, what are you guys doing here? They're like, oh, we're doing a kids program. It's a one-off. And I'm like, okay, perfect, perfect. I'm like, hey, I'm kind of interested in volunteering in kids ministry. Yeah, that's a play, huh? For any of the single guys in the room, that's a play. I'm like, I'm kind of interested. Can you guys give me like a tour or something? So they gave me a tour. I wasn't interested in kids men at the time, bro. I'm not going to lie. So after that whole event, I come back and I'm in the kitchen again. Lord, I've seen you do the impossible. I've seen you turn water into wine. I've seen you heal the sick. Lord, give me the game I need to speak to this girl. And again, she walks in. And she says, hey, I'm looking for my mom. Have you seen her? And I was like, no. And I'm just looking at her. She says, okay. Walks out. But I say, hey, wait a minute. Let me talk to you. And so I kid you not, this would happen. I was looking online that to like really be confident, you gotta like, you know, give her a little touch or something. Really just like show that you're confident. And so in slow motion, I'm like, hey, I need to talk to you. And I put my hand out, but then I'm like, what am I doing? And she's like, what are you doing? And so I put my hand on her shoulder. And then I'm like, why is my hand on her shoulder? So then I start massaging her shoulder. And I'm like, hey, can we go for coffee? But she said, yes! Come on, thank God. God is good, and we went for coffee, and then COVID shut down everything, and so we had to just chat in the park, and it was all good. But there's a point to the story. The point is, see how engaged everyone was in the room. It's because the thing about love is it draws people in, right? You know, if I talk about other things, it's like, whatever. But love draws people in, because deep down, if we're being honest, we all have a desire for real love. That's why Disney makes so much money off of us, right? Because they provide these stories of this excellent love story, and we're bought in from Mamma Mia to Star Wars. There's always something centered around love. And that tells me something, that we all have a desire for love. There's an interview that happened of a president's son. And when this interview was taking place, the interviewer asked this question. I'm not going to tell you which president, because I don't want to out them, but you could probably guess. Anyways, he says, what is it like having your father be the president? Isn't it cool? And so I was thinking that he was going to say, yeah, it's awesome. You know, I get ice creams from Men in Black, and I get the rollerblade on the White House. But you know what's crazy? He says this. He says, I never met my dad. He said, I spent hours with the most powerful man in the room, but I don't know him. You know what that tells me? You know what that tells me? That here's a boy desperately wanting to be loved by his father. Desperately wanting to be loved by his father. And if we're being honest in the room, we can all relate to that. That we all want to have that desire of being known, loved, and valued. We all want to be seen. We all want that kind of love. But for many of us, we were hurt by the name of love. We thought it was real love. We thought it was legit, but it ended up being a counterfeit. It ended up being a fake love. It ended up being something different. But we hear the word love and we jump right in. We hear the word love and we dive in head first. And in result, what happens? In turn, what happens is that person leaves us. In turn, what happens is we begin to feel betrayed. But he left or she left. And in return, the trust is gone. And now we protect ourselves. And now we don't let anybody in. Because we were all hurt by the name of love. We heard real love, heard the word love, but it turned into manipulation. Instead, it was prideful. Instead, it was hurtful. And what's crazy is that real love isn't like that. And what's even more crazy is that everybody knows that real love is actually out there. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows that there's a real love out there that's patient, a real love out there that's kind, a real love that holds no record of wrong, a real kind of love that can look at the worst person, the worst time you ever were, and still choose you. Everybody knows that there's a real love out there that can look at the worst sin in your life and still say yes. Everybody knows that real kind of love is out there. But I came from Edmonton, Alberta, to let everybody know in the room, to remind us that real love isn't a feeling, that real love isn't a marital status or a Facebook status, that real love is a person, and his name is Jesus, and that if you want to choose him, if you want to be a part, this morning, if you could just choose Jesus and say yes to him, then we can actually have that real love that we could spread to the nations. But so often, we're so stuck in our ways, man. And we think we're all right, we're good, it's fine. But Jesus here is saying, man, but if you would just hold on to the real love that I provide for you, you'll see that there's a difference. So if you're taking notes, my sermon title is Love. That's it. And I got 2 points if you're taking notes. Real love pursues, and real love is personal. Real love pursues, and real love is personal. And we're going to go to Mark 5, 21, if you're there. Go. Well, you're not there. Get there, and then I'll continue reading. Let me know when you're there, and then we'll start reading. You ready? Come on. Mark 5, 21. We're going to be reading a lot, though, so, which is good. When Jesus crossed over again by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him. And while he was by the lake, one of the synagogue leaders by the name of Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she may be healed and live. So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed, pressing around him. A woman was there who was subject to bleeding for 12 years, and she was suffering a great deal under the care of many doctors, and she spent all that she had. But instead of getting better, she kept getting worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up from behind him and touched his cloak because she thought, if only I could touch his clothes, then I'll be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she felt in her body the freedom from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power, we'll talk about that tonight, had gone from him. And turned around and asked the crowd, who touched me? You see the people pressed against you, Jesus. Come on now, and you're asking, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around. And when he saw that the woman, knowing what had happened, fell at his feet, trembling in fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace from your suffering. See, I love this because we see that Jesus knew how to love. Large crowds gathered around, and Jesus would preach awesome messages, and he would heal the sick, because that's what love does. It heals. But what's so sad about this story is many people didn't really love Jesus. They loved what he could do. So many people would gather around, and they would just go for what they could receive. They would go for the miracle, not for the miracle worker. And I don't know this, but I'm speculating that because Jesus is so good, he still healed. But they knew that the healing or that the miracle that they were asking for, that wasn't the real issue. The real issue was the heart issue. So many of us, we pray for the miracle, which rightly so, I believe it. Right now, I believe that you can be healed, you can be restored, you can be all of these things right now in this room. But it's not about the miracle, it's about the miracle worker. And so do we have the heart for what God wants? Because again, when you receive the miracle, you're going to need another one a couple weeks later, bro. Right? If we're being honest, bro. So many times I've been praying for something and then God does something, but yet I'm still sad, or I'm still depressed, or I'm still anxious, or I still, like, you know what I mean? The list goes on. Can we get the heart of Jesus? But here's why I love this story so much. We see two people in the story. A man by the name of Jairus, and then a woman, we don't know her name. The man by the name of Jairus, it says that he's a synagogue leader, meaning at the time he was pretty popular, meaning at the time he was like a celebrity at the time. Okay, kids would be like, oh, like an influencer. Yeah, exactly. He's kind of like that level. Lots of followers, you know what I mean? Lots of fame. Okay, people knew his name. He had a lot of money. Okay, people knew this guy named Jairus. They knew him. Okay. Paralleled with the woman with the issue of bleeding, Scripture tells us, okay, that at this time, when you have that issue that she had, you would be considered unclean. And so you would have to go around everywhere and make sure that people didn't touch you. Because if they touched you, you would also be unclean. And so whether you went to church or the grocery store or wherever, anywhere public, you would have to yell out, hey, just so you guys know, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. I'm unclean. Could you imagine the shame? Imagine if she had a family. Nobody could touch her. Nobody could hug her. But what's awesome about this story is you have two opposite kind of people. Man by the name of Jairus, who was famous, loved by everybody, who had money, he had it all. Everything the world tells us that we need to get, he had it. Then you have this woman with the issue of bleeding that was shamed by her society and had nothing, probably poor. But yet this tells me that it doesn't matter your status, doesn't matter if you're black, white, and blue, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter whatever thing that you're bringing, the preconceived, doesn't matter. If you have a great need, God has a great love for you. If you have a great need, God has a great love. And I wonder how many people in the room need that kind of love. For many of us, we look different on the outside, eh? You come to church, I wear my fancy shoes, right? But on the inside, there's a lot different. We're different. I wonder how many people in the room have a pain today. And I'm not necessarily talking about a physical one, though that might be you too. Maybe you have a disease. Or maybe the doctor prescribed you something that you need a healing for. I believe 100% that tonight you'll receive that in full faith. But I'm not necessarily talking about that right now, because before we get to that, we got to get to the actual issue, which is the heart issue. And so right now, the kind of pain I'm talking about is the pain that looks like sleepless nights. The pain that I'm talking about looks like worry for the next year. The pain that I'm talking about is the kind of pain when somebody looks at you and makes fun of you. The kind of pain I'm talking about is the pain of feeling pressure from somebody to do something that you know isn't right. The kind of pressure I'm talking about is losing a loved one. Or the kind of pain I'm talking about is losing a loved one. The kind of pain I'm talking about is life looks a lot differently than you expect. But this is what I'm saying is, in the midst of your pain and in the midst of your situation, what matters the most is who you pursue. We're adults here in the room. Some of us are kids, bro. We get it. Life is hard, bro. But so often we start pursuing other things. That's why we get into alcoholism. That's why divorce rates are high. That's why so many people make money on videos online that we shouldn't be watching, but we know we are. Because we understand the pain that we feel. But who you pursue, who you give your life to when you're hurting, matters the most. For these two individuals, a man by the name of Jairus and the woman who is struggling, they knew they had a great pain, and what did they do? Immediately they saw Jesus and they knelt at his feet. They saw Jesus and they knelt at his feet. They pursued the right thing, the real love that we're talking about. Two-ish years ago, I was speaking at a youth camp, and this little girl changed my life forever. I was preaching, and it was like an altar time, kind of like what we'll do tonight. And she came up, ugly crying, man. These guys are laughing because they know this story. Ugly crying, dude. Snot, all of it, dude. And she was maybe in grade like 7 or 8. And she came up to me and she said, Pastor, she said, I want to be healed. She said, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what my friends think about me. I don't care if it actually happens, but I want you to pray for me right now for healing. I submit it. And so I gathered a few teenagers together and we began to pray. First time, nothing happened. It was her ankle. She rolled it during a game. Second time, nothing happened. Third time, still nothing happened. But the fourth time, she got up, started going like this, and then started doing somersaults in the auditorium. Started jumping up and down out of excitement. I had to quiet her down because all the other kids she was distracting kids from what God was doing. But what I learned in that moment is, man, when you submit, when you pursue Jesus, then you can actually get that real love. How do you pursue Jesus? You submit what you're doing, what you have, your situation, to the throne room of God. Just like the man by the name of Jairus. God, my daughter's dead. I know only you can fix this. So I'm going to submit. I'm going to kneel before you, kneel before to the throne and say, God, you're the only one that can fix it. You're the only one that can do something. When we actually submit our situation to God is when he can actually do something. Can I go off topic really quickly? How much time do I have? God, all day. I'm going to go off topic, okay? So this story also transforms me and right now in like this moment right now. Because so when Jesus feeds the 5,000, okay, it mentions a little boy. Again, we don't know this little boy's name. But what's so crazy about that story is that this little boy gives barley bread, which barley bread is represented, it's like the poorest bread ever. Like it's like, it was used for like dogs and animals. It was like not good bread. But what's so crazy is he gives it to Jesus. He puts it in his hands. He surrenders it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like the little boy knows what we don't know so often is, man, let's get it out of my hands and give it to the throne of the King of Kings. And he takes it. And guess what Jesus does? You guys know the story. He multiplies it. And the Bible says that all these people are full. They don't even recognize that it's barley bread. How much more can Jesus do with our lives, man, in our situations if we just submit it to him? In the midst of your pain, what you pursue matters. Last point is this. That real love is personal. You guys know this. We love to say, oh, I love sushi. I love dogs. Right? Oh, I love this. I love that. My wife, oh, I love my plants. I love my plants. I'm like, yeah, do the plants pay the bills, though? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Right? Well, we love to say that. But real love, we know, isn't a feeling, it's an experience. Verse 29, let's go there. Mark 5, verse 29. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. And she felt her body be free from her suffering. And at this, Jesus realized that the power had gone from him. And so he turned and said, "Who touched me?" "You see the large crowd around you," his disciples answered. "Yet you still ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. The woman, recognizing what she's done, she came, fell at his feet, trembling in fear, told him the whole truth. She said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." What I want us to take a look at is that phrase called daughter. Because remember, she's in a crowd full of people. Shame has been ruling her life. Her name has been unclean for 12 years. And remember, she gets the healing that she's asking for, yet she stays anyway. Because God knows that there's more than just the miracle. And what's crazy is, Danny will probably, check this later, but Jesus never says the word daughter to anybody else in the scriptures. This woman is the only one. Why is that? Because there needed to be an identity change for her. It needed to be personal for her. It couldn't just be a miracle and then walking off. Real love needed to be personal for her in that situation. Because for so often she's heard unclean, unclean, unclean. But now she needs to hear the words, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." Jesus wants to make it personal for us in this room. Right now, a personal experience, a personal moment, but you can't have that if you're like on the fence. Sorry. I wish I could just preach it to you, right? Like, that would be easy. But you actually got to step out like this woman and say, okay, I'm going to humble myself, Lord, before you. And remember, it's in a crowd full of people. But I'm going to surrender and plead, kneel down before you so that you can call me daughter or son. I'm going to ask you this morning, just like God asked Adam and Eve in the garden, who told you that? Who told you you were broken? Who told you you were unlovable? Who told you you are less than? Who told you that God can't use you right now? Who told you you're too old? Who told you you're too young? Who told you that? In my life, I grew up without a father. And for my whole teenage years, I had this hole that I wasn't lovable. I had this hole of like feeling abandoned. And it wasn't until I was 16, went to camp, finally began to get saved. And so for so long I was told I was fatherless until I had a one-on-one intimate relationship or intimate moment with the Holy Spirit. And he said to me, and this is verbatim, I didn't know Jesus, didn't know the Bible, and this is the audible voice I heard God say this to me. He says, I am the true father you are looking for the whole time. He said, surrender your life to me, and I'll make you new. Remember, I wasn't Christian. But that sounds very much like the Bible, does it not? If you want to experience this real love, you have to surrender. Because I believe, Bandy can come back up. Because I believe that right now, even in this crowd, even in this church, you can have a personal one-on-one relationship right now if you let him. Jesus isn't in the business of behavior modification or creating a vibe. It's life transformation. Me, man, look at me. I should have been a statistic. Single parent household. And I tried all the drugs. I did all that stuff. But now I'm here preaching to you guys. But you know what's even more crazy? Last year, let me tell you something that happened to me. I remember I'm a youth pastor, and so I'm with these grade 12 boys. And we're talking about, you know, girls and all this stuff. You guys know. But then one of them looks at me. He puts his head on my shoulder. And he says, Pastor DeAndre, you know what I realized? You're my spiritual father. How crazy is that? That I went from fatherless to being a spiritual father to these kids. That's the kind of life transformation we're talking about. I don't care if you're like it's not a behavior modification reading the Bible more. You'll get that as you submit to him. But right now I'm talking about a heart transformation. Deep work, but you can't get that unless you surrender. Amen? So, I kind of lied to you. It's 3 points. Real love pursues. Real love is personal. And real love is a choice. This morning, we have a choice to make. That's all I'm saying. Are we going to choose real love? Or have the mundane status quo? That's all I'm saying. So here's what we're going to do. Band is going to play a song. And I want us to kind of just stand up. We're going to sing this last song. But then I'm going to ask us to be bold and come up to the front. And the band's going to help. And if you feel led to pray, we're going to pray for each other, for real love, for us to experience it. Is that cool?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's stand to our feet, man, and let the band lead us in one more song. In this moment, I believe that just like that woman in the Bible, you can be in a crowd full of people but still have a one-on-one. encounter with the Holy Spirit, one-on-one encounter with Jesus. And so here's what I want us to do, man. If you are here and you want that real love, real love that you can only get from the Father. You can only give that real love once you get it. And if that's you, you want to have a one-on-one personal experience of that real love, I'm going to invite you to come up to the front. And a few of us are going to pray for you. Pastor Danny's going to pray for you. We're just going to take that time to surrender. I'll wait a couple more minutes. Jesus. Okay, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Wherever you're at, now this is your moment. The band is going to sing, but you're just going to surrender to him. And you talk to him and ask him for this real love.
I hope you know that church isn't something that is, we do this service, and the service unfortunately is not for you. It's not for me, it's for God. And I really like that DeAndre has no qualms about coming down here, because this is just a space. That's all this is. And you can get up out of your seat and you can move. And there's permission for that. You can stay where you are. And that's comfortable. And this is uncomfortable. And I truly do believe that the more we sit here, it's not even 12 yet. Normally we end at 12. The longer we sit here in this uncomfortability, because we go, what are we doing? What's going on? I don't know. This isn't normal to me. That's okay. I give you permission. Do whatever you got to do. Whether you want to sit there, whether you want to stand there, whether you want to worship him with your mouth externally, whether you want to meditate on his goodness internally, whether you want to come up here, whether you want to go out there, all I care about is that you have an experience with the Holy Spirit that is tangible, that you can leave and be changed. And that's DeAndre's heart. That's all we want in this space. So we're going to take this couple minutes, and it'll be a little bit uncomfortable. We're going to linger here. Then we're going to go, and we're going to have lunch, and it'll be okay. We'll get you out. We'll get you out. So thank you, God, that you are the King above all kings. Thank you, Lord, that you are our Lord. If we have not gotten that chance to really put our faith in you yet, I pray that we would come to a fresh revelation of you, Holy Spirit, that you came down, Jesus, from heaven to die for us because of your love for us. Your love was greater than our sin. As dirty and as unclean as I am, as DeAndre is, as all of you are in this room, God loves you. It doesn't matter the mistakes that you've had, that you've made in the past, what sin and shame you carry, whatever you're holding on to, he doesn't care because he loves you. And he's loving you right now because he wants to transform you. He doesn't want to leave you in a broken, sinful state. He wants to redeem you. And unfortunately, no matter how much I read my Bible, no matter how much I pray, no matter how much I do anything, I cannot measure up to the great love that he bestows on us. And that's all he's doing right here. Through DeAndre, through the music. If we could just have a revelation, Jesus, of who you are, just a little bit more. In heaven, we're going to praise you endlessly. We'll never run out of things to say. We'll never run out of praise because you're never going to stop revealing the endlessness that is you in your being, your goodness, your grace, your kindness, your peace, your mercy, your faithfulness. Lord, you bestow that unto us here in this moment because we can hear from your Holy Spirit. And you love us too much to not give us this opportunity. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you that even when we're scared and uncomfortable, you draw us a little bit deeper. Thank you, Lord, that you've kept us this far through the years, through the pain, through the suffering, your love has sustained us. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. The very definition of good. Your goodness never ends. What is perfection is in you. During worship, I prayed if you could just open up the heavens for me, if I could just see some of your glory, would you do that? And you did, and I saw. And I was overwhelmed, so would you do that in this moment for us? Would you open up that heaven? Would you give us a fresh revelation, Holy Spirit? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I'd love to pray for you. We'll shut those doors, and if you gotta go get lunch, if you gotta go feed your baby, now I know a little bit about that, what it's like to have a newborn. If you gotta go do stuff, go. But if you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. We would love to pray for you. And if you need a little more, if you wanna go a little bit deeper, come back tonight. That's all we're going to do. It's just going to be more in this. That's all I got. All I got is Jesus for you. So we're going to end it there. I love you. See you next week. Let me know if I can pray for you. Let Pastor DeAndre know if he can pray for you. Otherwise, we'll keep that going and bless you. Bless you.